name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Just recently, we heard about and saw on TV the damage done to Houston by Hurricane Harvey. Now, Hurricane Irma is hitting Florida, even as I speak right now. And these are vivid reminders to us of our own state's encounter with Hurricane Katrina a few years back. Tomorrow, we may also call to mind September 11th, that terrible attack that occurred several years ago on the Twin Towers in New York. And as bad as all these events seem to be, there is, in fact, a fate which is much worse. Now, these are all horrible events, and we need to pray for those that are affected by them. I'm glad Jordan was able to evacuate from that region in time. Sharon's and Lee's brother John and his family had to evacuate from St. Petersburg. These are all, as I said, horrible events that many times people have to suffer through. But they are temporal events. The issue of our salvation is something that affects us eternally. You know, we as a nation have seen we can recover from disasters. But you know, ignoring the salvation that God offers to us and His Son is a much worse disaster. Our reading from St. John today tells us what God has done to recover us from mankind's greatest disaster of all, that is separation from God. Today's gospel reading from St. John contains a preparatory reminder for our upcoming feast of the Elevation of the Precious Cross, which we'll celebrate this coming week. In one of today's verses, Jesus tells us that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What is he talking about here? This is a referral to the Old Testament book of Numbers, Numbers 21, where the Israelites, after they were released from bondage in Egypt, were wandering around in the wilderness, and they encountered and were overcome by poisonous snakes. As a cure for the snake bites, God commanded Moses to do something unusual, to fashion a brass serpent, a brass snake, and place it on a standard, on a pole. And whoever was to gaze upon this serpent would immediately be healed. Here Christ uses the Old Testament as a teaching tool to show us that he is the fulfillment of the Old Covenant. This is quite a paradox here. And a paradox is a statement on the one hand seems contradictory, but on the other hand is very true. And the cross is an amazing paradox. Christ is showing us that just as the faithful Israelites were healed through a symbol of death, that serpent, so we are saved through Christ who was hung on another symbol of death, the cross. And while the cross was the symbol of death back then, it has now become a symbol of life to those who have been saved. Other examples of paradoxes might be God becomes man. How can that be? Or a virgin gives birth. Amazing. Yet, as unfathomable as some of these things may be to us, the earthly visit of our Savior was prefigured throughout the Old Testament. Christ has become the new Adam. Jonah in the belly of the fish foreshadows Christ in the tomb after his crucifixion. The brass serpent that we read of today, the saving act of Christ's death on the cross. We need to not forget the importance of the Old Testament. And without the Old Testament, we would have trouble understanding what Christ was saying that day in today's gospel. And our church fathers have always emphasized the Old Testament and its message that points its way to what is fulfilled in the New Testament. What then is the message of the New Testament? Well, it's a very rich message, but we have a key summary today in our gospel in John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved us so much, he sent his only Son. This short but very important passage embodies the essence of our faith. It illustrates the things of God, things about us, and about our salvation. I can remember when I was fairly young, I don't remember the exact age, but I would sometimes go with my parents and we would visit other churches, just in travels or whatever. And I would particularly notice whether the preacher would talk just about, quote, God, or would he include the importance of the Son of God. If God the Father had not sent his Son to come to die on the cross for us, and not stop there, but to be raised from the dead, we could still be in our sins. In today's gospel, Jesus goes on and says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus was sent not to condemn, but to save. Now, he was very stern with many, as we read in the Gospels. He even condemned the practices of some of the Pharisees. But he was sent not to condemn anyone to eternal suffering, to hell. You know, our whole understanding of what heaven and hell is like has been distorted over time by this world. You know, by literature, which paints, you know, different figures, so to speak, and by, quote, entertainment that we see that really distorts things. You know, heaven is not up there and hell is not down there. What is hell? Well, one description of hell is an absence of the presence of God, or as a result of turning away from God. So who condemns us to hell? We condemn ourselves by our own actions, our own thoughts. To turn your back on God is to reject God, and it's to reject the mercy that he has given to us if we accept it. Further down in verse 20, Christ says, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light. There are many people today who actually have a taste of hell because they have turned from God. Their real problem is what's in their heart. And that's why it's so important that we keep a soft heart, all of us, every day. That if troubles come our way, we turn to God, not away from him. Or if success comes our way, on the other hand, we continue to walk with God, not away from him. You know, God allows us to choose, but our choices in life will either separate us from God or unite us closer to him. God loves us, but he doesn't force himself on us. If someone chooses to turn their back on God, to turn away from the love that he's poured out on us, they will suffer. But you may be thinking, that does not describe me. Thank God it does not. Thank God that it does not describe me today. But what about tomorrow? What about next month, next year, sometime down the road? We can't take our salvation for granted. There is much in this world that can reach out and grab our hearts and our minds that can turn us away from the Lord. That is why we're here today, to draw near to God, to have our hearts strengthened by his grace and his mercy, so we don't develop a hard heart. so we don't drift away from God. So when we hear of a disaster, like we're hearing of this very day, whether it's a hurricane or something like 9/11 or some other tragedy, let that serve as a reminder to us that the worst disaster of all is to be separated from God. And when we are reminded, let us always turn to God and not away from Him, who so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, and that whoever believes in Him shall have eternal life. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.